Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
This evening, I just want to talk about the fire. And we'll read in chapter 18 the story of Elijah and his face off. Now, we'll just start reading in verse 25. It says, "And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal," some people call it Baal, that sounds like a sheep that's got hurt or something like that. So I've heard Baal all my life, so I'm just going to say Baal. He says, "Choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under." And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon, saying, "O Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened." And they cried aloud and cut themselves after the manner which knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering for the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any answer to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, "Come near to me." And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be thy name." And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, "Fill 4 barrels of water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." And he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it a second time. And he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell down on their faces. And they said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, thank you for allowing us to dive into it one more time, Lord. And Father, I pray that you'll bless us, Lord. Help us to preach, Lord, what you laid on our heart, Lord. And Father, we just love you and thank you for all that you've done in our lives, Lord. And Father, we ask, Lord, that you'll just bless us tonight, Lord. Help hearts, Lord, and help the one that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord. And we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, I know some of the congregation's firemen, you know. We know that fire is powerful. And the United States, there's over 350,000 home structure fires that occur annually. And you've got over 2,000 deaths that happen because of fire each year. Fire is powerful. The Bible says the tongue is like a fire. Man, you can tear down a relationship and burn bridges in an instant. You can say sorry, but it's never going to be the same. Fire is powerful. In the New Testament, fire takes on a new imagery. It takes on a new meaning. John the Baptist declared, "He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire." At Pentecost, tongues as cloven came down over the disciples' head as the Holy Ghost filled their hearts. And the Apostle Paul urged believers, "Do not quench the Spirit." Fire throughout Scripture represents presence, His purifying power, His holiness, and His empowering Spirit. And here in our text, in Elijah and He meets Baal, and it's one of the most dramatic demonstrations of God's power in Scripture. You know, Israel has come into idolatry under King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. And the prophet Elijah challenged 450 prophets or Baal to a spiritual showdown on Mount Carmel. You know, both sides would prepare this sacrifice, but neither was going to light the fire themselves. But the God who answers by fire, declared Elijah, He is God. And the prophets of Baal went first, and they cried from morning to evening. Didn't hear a thing. And then Elijah rebuilt the altar. He put 12 stones on it. He dug a trench around it. He arranged the wood on the sacrifice and the sacrifice. And then, this is crucial, he did something unexpected. He had 4 large barrels of water poured on it. Not once, not twice, but 3 times he had that. Something that no one had expected. Not once, not twice, but 3 times until water ran down in that trench. And from a human perspective, Elijah made it to where that sacrifice wouldn't burn. He made it impossible to catch fire. But then he prayed, "Oh, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel, and that I am Your servant, and I've done all these things at Thy word." And the result was that fire came down from heaven, and it consumed that burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up all that water. This just wasn't a small flame. It just wasn't a little flame. This was an all-consuming flame that consumed every single piece on that offering. He said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God," when they saw what was done. And for just a few moments, I'm going to talk about this topic, throwing a log on the fire. Now, when I think of fire, I usually think about a campfire or a fireplace. I'm sure a lot of you have made a fire in a campfire or a fireplace. And, you know, we burn wood in the winter. And I think about why do we put wood on the fire? And I just want to share 3 reasons why we throw a log on the fire. Number 1 is to burn brighter. Increase our spiritual visibility. Now, Elijah had been hiding for 3 years. And now he comes back. And we read in verse 15. And Elijah said, "As Lord of hosts liveth, for whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him." He's talking about Ahab. Ahab's been looking for him. And he goes to Obadiah and says, "Hey, I'm here. I want to show myself to Ahab." And he says, "I will surely show myself to him." And verse 16 says, "Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah." And we look at verse 30. "And Elijah said unto all the people, come near me." Oh, he wanted to show them something. Fire by its nature dispels darkness, provides light. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." And when the Holy Spirit's fire burns brightly in us, people notice. Yes, sir. They see something different. They see something attractive, something that draws them in closer to investigate. Think about Elijah's fire on Mount Carmel. It wasn't hidden. It was public. It was a public demonstration that caused everyone present to recognize the true God. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, our lives become visible, testimonies to the power and the reality of God. But what does it mean to burn brighter? That means allowing God's presence in our lives to be more evident through our words, through our actions, through our attitudes, in our priorities. It means not hiding our faith under a bushel.
Yes, sir.
It means letting it shine out before others. Acts 4:13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled."
Yes, sir.
"And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus."
Yes, sir.
When people observed Peter and John, they recognized all that they had been with Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Their time in Jesus' presence made them noticeable. Amen? It made them different. The same should be about us. I remember a time when I was a kid. I remember a time that we went on vacation, and we would go on vacation, and I think a lot of people's things that they like to do on vacation is shop. And my mama, she loved to shop. And I really didn't care. Kids don't really care nothing about shopping until they get a little bit older. But I wanted to get something that I saw in the store. We were in Pigeon Forge, and we went to the Nike shop. And this has been, 20-some years ago. And I went to that Nike shop, and I saw a pair of shoes. Stan, can I borrow your shoe? All right. We got this. I went to that Nike store, and I saw this shoe. And I said, oh, man, school's coming up. I got to buy me some new outfits. I got to buy me some new shoes. I looked at this shoe, and I said, oh, man, I got to have it. And then I looked at the price tag of it. Now, remember, this was 20-some years ago, and the price tag was $99.98. That's a lot. It's a lot of money now. It's still a lot of money back then. I saw this shoe, and I said, oh, I have to have it. Oh, I have to have this shoe. I'm going to impress so many people if I walk into the schoolhouse and I have this shoe. So I put on my best puppy dog eyes and my best pouty lip, and I said, Mama, Daddy, I really, really want this shoe. I really, really want this shoe. And I got that shoe. And I took it home. And on the first day of school, I wore these shoes. And I walked around. I said, hey, look at these shoes. Yeah. I walked around. I said, hey, look at these shoes I got. I wanted to be impressive. I said, hey, look what I got. Look at these shoes. Look at these shoes. I wanted to show everybody my shoes. I wanted to show everybody my shoes. And hey, what else should we want to show? Yeah. I got something.
You're right.
I got something that I want to show. I got something in my heart that I need to show to other people. Why didn't I want to go around school saying, hey, look what I got. I got Jesus. Hey, have you ever heard of Jesus? Hey, I love Jesus. Hey, I want to show you who I got. I got Jesus. I wanted to show everybody that pair of shoes. I want to show everybody. Have you ever been proud of something? Landon, come here for a second. Why you got your shirt untucked? Where's your belt? Oh, man. He had on the brightest belt buckle I've ever seen. Oh, he still got it. Come here. No, don't take it off. If I go around, hey, Landon told me about this. He got it for Christmas. It's one of the shiniest belt buckles I've ever seen. And why does he wear it? He's a cowboy. He wears it because he's proud of it. He wears it because he wants to show people. And Elijah wanted to show. He wanted to show himself. Here you go, Stan. He wanted to show these people something. He said, come to me. I want to show you something. It says in verse 30, it says, he gathered all the people, and they came to him, and he said, I want to show you something. That should be true of us. To throw a log on our fire in a spiritual sense, we need to spend more time in God's presence and his prayer and worship and meditating the Scripture. As Moses' face shone after being in God's presence, our lives ought to radiate God's glory that we've been with him. Ask yourselves, is my spiritual fire burning brightly enough that others can see it?
Amen.
Or has it dimmed to the point where it's barely noticeable? Amen. Hey, if your fire ain't burning brightly, it's time to throw a log on that fire.
Amen.
So we see we need to burn more brightly. We also need to burn hotter. We need to be intensifying our spiritual passion. Verse 38 talks about that fire. Austin talked about that fire, about how it was an eternal torment. It says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Temperature matters when it comes to a fire. A small fire accomplishes very little. But intense heat transforms everything it touches. In Revelation 3:15, Jesus addressed the church and said, I know your works, you're neither cold nor hot, because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold. I will spew thee out of my mouth. Those are strong words. Jesus desires fervent followers. He wants our devotion to be passionate, not passive. Elijah's fire here on Mount Carmel wasn't just bright. It was hot enough to consume things that shouldn't have been consumed. That's the kind of spiritual intensity God can bring in our lives when we fully yield to Him. Paul urges us to be fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. I took those shoes and I wore them, and I would take them home, and I would clean them, and I would wear them some more, and then eventually I stopped cleaning them. They got a little bit dirty. They got kind of wore out. I just didn't care about them so much anymore. And like all shoes, they wear out, and you can't get the stains off of them anymore. The word fervent here literally means boiling hot. Our service to God should come from our hearts that are on fire and on love for Him. How do we increase the temperature of our spiritual fire? By removing things that'll cool it down. Sin, compromise, worldliness, busyness can all dampen our spiritual fervor. David prayed in Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Man, if I could just take those shoes, and if I could just throw them in the washing machine, if I could just scrub them clean, and they'd be new and bright again, and I could show them off again. Sometimes we need God to rekindle what has grown cold and went wrong. Some of us have allowed the passion of our fire to cool down. But the Lord is calling us higher to burn hotter. We burn hotter by surrendering more, praying deeper, fasting, crying out for more. When the altar of sacrifice is restored, the fire will fall. Yes. Hot fire brings change. It refines. It consumes what doesn't belong. One time, I was burning an old chicken coop so I could get the wire off of it. I was burning that thing, and I was like, oh, I can burn this, and I can burn this, and I can burn this. And man, we just got done camping. I just got a little camping stove that uses those small propane bottles. I got done with those propane bottles, and I threw them in the trash. And that day, I grabbed a hold of the wrong trash bag. I threw those things on that fire to burn that trash. And we were sitting there doing some stuff, and all of a sudden, a big fire just shot out. And I'm like, oh, and I was like, oh goodness, I threw a propane cylinder in there. And I'm like, I'm glad it didn't explode. And then a few seconds later, I thought in my mind, the gears started turning. Oh no, I had two. And then boom! And that fire exploded. Man, we gotta be careful what we throw on the fire. We gotta be careful what we throw on the fire. That fire consumes what doesn't belong. And don't be afraid to ask God to increase the heat. Let Him burn out the fear, the bitterness, the compromise, and the selfishness. And what's left is what's pure and what's holy and our devotion. And you ask yourself, how's my passion for God cooled? Has my passion for God cooled? Am I going through just religious motions without spiritual emotion? So we can throw a log on the fire to burn brighter, and we can throw a log on the fire to burn hotter. And thirdly, we throw a log on the fire to burn longer and sustain our spiritual commitment. You look back at verse 1 of chapter 18. It says, "And it came to pass after many days." Consistency and endurance matter in our spiritual lives. It's not enough to burn brightly and hotly for a short time. We need to maintain that fire throughout our lives. In the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter number 13, Jesus describes a seed that dries up quickly and withered when the sun comes out because it got hot and it had no root. He was illustrating the reality of short-lived spirituality. After the dramatic and powerful demonstration here on Mount Carmel, Elijah faced threats from Jezebel and fell into discouragement. Even, powerful experiences don't exempt us for the need for ongoing spiritual maintenance. Paul wrote to Timothy, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God." It's clear spiritual fire needs regular attention to keep burning. We can't rely on yesterday's spiritual experiences to sustain us for tomorrow's challenges. It's important to keep going. You know, when we burn wood in the winter, we throw logs on the fire to keep it going. And at night, you know, I always try to put a bunch of wood on the fire to keep it going through all night, because I want to wake up in the morning and I want to have some coals there that I can just throw a log on. And sometimes we don't put enough wood. We might put some wet wood, and we don't let that fire just burns out. It just burns out. Hebrews 12:1 urges us to let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The Christian life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It requires consistent spiritual discipline, you know, regular engagement. That's why we need the church. You know, the pastor talked about we need the church, we need each other. Hey, because when we're together, we burn more brightly. Think about going out on visitation. You think about doing that alone. You know, I think about having somebody there with me. And it's the same thing like we go to the gym. Man, I go to the gym by myself, I just don't want to do nothing. But if I have somebody there to help me and to encourage me, man, that fire just burns a little hotter. It just burns just a little bit hotter. And just as physical fire needs regular attention to keep the fire burning, our spiritual lives needs regular daily feeding. Daily time in God's Word, constant prayer, faithful worship, meaningful service. Did I say worship? All help sustains our spiritual fire for the long haul. After the fire fell here on Mount Carmel, Elijah didn't say, "Well, that was good. Let's go home now." No. What'd he do? He sent his servant to look for the rain.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. This wasn't just a moment. It was meant to bring a lasting change. A fire that burns long has had someone tending it. Someone staying close. Someone adding logs continuously. If you want to burn long for the Lord, we need discipline and consistency in our walk with Him. Yep. Revival can start with a spark, but it continues through our continuous filling of the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. Am I building spiritual habits that will sustain my life for a lifetime? Or am I living one Sunday just to the next? We know through history the Great Awakening. When God's fire spread, you know, sinners in the hands of an angry God. And you know, it's not just speaking of individual experiences, but how God's Spirit can spread like wildfire throughout communities and nations. One of the most powerful examples here is what that Jonathan Edwards preached, sinners in the hands of an angry God. God began to move throughout that time in 1734 in Massachusetts. Jonathan Edwards witnessed an extraordinary outpouring of the Spirit. And he said this. The town that he was in was Northampton. He said the town seemed to be full of the presence of God. He said it was never so full of love nor joy. There was remarkable tokens of God's presence in almost every house. And another great man, George Whitefield, known for his powerful preaching throughout the colonies, and he would preach to crowds of up to 30,000 people, and they gathered to hear him. And at that time, when he preached in Philadelphia, the population of Philadelphia was 13,000. He had 30,000 people come to him. Remember here, Elijah said, "Y'all, children of Israel, y'all come to me. I want to show you something." And revival in that time led to more reformation and social outreach, and ministries grew. The Great Awakening reminds us that when God's fire falls, it just doesn't affect us. It affects everyone around us. It transforms communities. It can transform our church. It can transform our family.
Yes, sir.
If we'll just throw another log on the fire.
Amen.
I just want to close. I just want to ask you, how is your spiritual fire today? Is it burning brightly? Is it burning hot? Is it burning consistently? Has it dimmed, cooled, or flickered? And we don't need to generate the fire ourselves. Have you ever tried to light a log on a fire with a lighter? kind of hard to do yourself. But like Elijah, our responsibility is to prepare the altar, arrange the sacrifice, and pray for God's fire to fall. The Holy Ghost is the fire bringer.
Yes, sir.
But we do have a role in maintaining and increasing that fire. We can throw a log on the fire. We can throw other things on the fire that don't need to be there, like propane bottles. Don't do that. Don't throw propane bottles on the fire. But imagine what could happen in our church, in our community, in our world, if each one of us committed to throwing another log on the fire today. Imagine the Holy Spirit spreading like wildfire through our relationships, through our workplaces, through our schools. We just need to throw another log on the fire. Like those who witnessed God's fire fall on Mount Carmel, people around us would be compelled to acknowledge the Lord, He is God.
Yes, sir.
I thought about this. My grandpa showed me years ago when I was a little kid the power of a magnifying glass. I'd seen on TV, I'd seen little kids smoking ants with it. And he showed me how to start a fire with it. But imagine what it could do if we just magnify Him. If we just glorify Him. If we just lift up our hands and our voices and our praises and sing our praises about God. Our God is a big God. Our God is a mighty God. Our God is a wonderful God. Our God is a merciful God. Our God is a gracious God. It says in Song of Solomon 5:10, "My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves, by rivers of waters washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance as the Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, He is altogether lovely." That's my God. That's the one who died for me. That's the one who rose for me. That's the one whose blood covers my sins. Hallelujah, let's praise and magnify His name. I think some of us dumped about 13 barrels of water on our log. Y'all will get that tomorrow. The church just doesn't need a fire on Sunday. It needs saints who burn with steady devotion on Monday. In your family, in your schools, your workplace needs people who will keep the flame burning. If they would get a song, the Lord is still answering by fire. But he's waiting for somebody to arrange that altar. You know, Austin preached about the fire. I know several people raised their hands that they weren't saved. Listen, you're either going to have your altar on fire of the divine fire, or it's going to be that fire from down below that's going to light your altar on fire. And I don't want you to leave here today not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow, not knowing what's going to happen when we roll down the road. It could be the very last time you have. And I don't know who raised their hand, but I know if you're here, don't wait. The wood to prepare the sacrifice, and we just have to have the faith to pray, "God, send the fire today." Today, let's decide that we're going to burn brighter, we're going to burn hotter, and we're going to long for the glory of God. Let's throw another log on that fire today. Maybe the Lord's never struck your altar. Maybe He's never struck your fire because you never prepared it. You never given your heart to Jesus. Just come give Him your heart today, and He'll light that thing up.